pardon our nervousness. We wrote it down so that we wouldn't forget anything we wanted to say. So if we're reading, looks like we're reading, it's because we are. But forgive us. A couple of weeks ago, Timothy asked us to relate how God burdened Carl and I for prayer. It is a testimony that from one perspective is difficult for us to talk about, but from another perspective is a glorious reminder that there is nothing too hard for our God. Let me say at the outset that this testimony is not about us. If that's what you walk away with, you've missed the whole point, and we're sorry. It is our desire to lift up the name of Jesus, who by his relentless pursuit continues to draw us deeper into a relationship with him. The greatest request we can bring to Jesus is teach us to pray. Prayer is our relationship with God. I would, however, be very clear with you about this, for God will not only teach you how to pray, but his desire is to bring you into the place of prayer. We thought we had been through the trials of trust, as Carla calls them, the three children, the job loss, severe financial losses, a daughter that married way too young. But as it turned out, these were God's loving hand preparing us for the trial to come. We had been taught to pray, but we had not yet yielded to God's prompting to be in the place of prayer in a more surrendered biblical sense. We are here to tell you, if your heart has any tenderness at all towards God, there is one sure way he can bring you to the place of prayer, and that way is desperation. He wants us desperate. After all, faith is a desperate dependence upon him. Desperation enhances our dependence on him and our faith in him.
It took 20 years of marriage, three children, and hearts of desperation for God to get us literally on our knees crying out to him. What was the best teaching God ever gave to us for our marriage and our relationship with him? Pray together, daily, and dependence on Christ. Now, let me back up and share some of our testimony. God brought Darren and I together in marriage about 45 years ago. I was saved at 12 years and Darren at 16. We knew Bible stories. However, there were not a lot of Bible studies offered at that time. We loved our church families and loved being together with other Christians. The main focus of the churches we were in was on doing a lot of good things rather than on disciple making and growing in grace and in knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I would say between the ages of 23 and 43 years old, we had a lot of testings and trials which stimulated our prayer life. We were blessed to have parents who were always praying for us and encouraging us in our walk with the Lord. They too had many hard times and were able to share how God had brought them through. At age 23, I went to the doctor and I had a very large cyst on my ovary. And within just a few days, it was removed and it was not cancerous. Another answer to our prayers. At age 28, Darren was laid off from his job after 10 years with the company. He found another job, but the pay was much lower, and we had to learn to live on a lot less, as I was a stay-at-home mom. We prayed for God to keep appliances, cars, etc., everything working. We couldn't afford for anything to break down, and God answered and kept things going in the home. God brought us many times to places of surrender in regard to health, finances, job losses, and even a business which put us further in debt and then went out of business. There were literally months when there was not an extra quarter in our house, and I was praying for bills to be paid some way, somehow. And God brought the money in just in time and in miraculous ways. We did learn to pray about everything and anything. There is nothing too little for God. And I remember telling the Lord to never let me forget that if I ever see an extra quarter laying around, to remind myself there was that day and only God. I did have to go back to work, and again, I prayed for the perfect job as we were raising three children. God found me that perfect job, and I was even able to work part-time and make my own hours. It was great, and it worked well with our family. God helped us pay off the debt of the business. Darren applied also at that time for a sales job to work the Chicago area, an area where Falcon Foam had never been before. Darren got the job, and we asked God to bring in $100,000 in sales that first year. The sales job taught us to ask, ask, and keep on asking. And when the year was over, God brought in over that amount. Darren continued to be a salesman, and when you're in sales, you learn it is a constant, day-by-day prayer for God to bring in what was needed. I say all of this to say that we were praying, but not together. We were thankful and praising God for his abundant supply, but it still was not the heart of desperation and constant dependence. The heart of desperation began with our prodigal daughter, who for a very long, long time lived the lie of a double life. I remember praying with her when she was very young, and she asked Jesus into her heart. We took our children to church, we read Bible stories, we spent time with them and prayed with them, but not always daily. And when Shelby, our prodigal, entered into a public high school, she became very much of a follower instead of a leader. Her friends would come over to our house, and we thought all was well. We were youth sponsors at our church, and Shelby was involved in youth activities. And it wasn't until her junior and senior year of high school we became more aware of her spiritual condition and found out that she was lying to us about many things. We decided she needed some Christian counseling, as our talking with her wasn't getting us anywhere. She was rebelling against us and God. We took her to get counseling from our pastor, and by this time, she really didn't want to go to youth activities or at church anymore. She couldn't understand why she had to be in at a certain hour and have to abide by our rules. She saw all her friends doing whatever they wanted to do, and she thought, this is true freedom and fun. In her junior year, she decided she wanted to move out, and she did. She came back and then moved out again. We literally tried all the options we could come up with on our own. In January of her senior year, I had come to the end of myself. At this time, I wanted to die. And I remember the night I was driving home one night in January by myself on very slippery roads. I was crying and crying out to God, talking to him, and I was really trying to convince him that if he would just take me home to heaven, everybody else would be much better off. I believed I was a rotten mother, and I had failed, and I could not go on anymore. I truly thought that my husband and son would be much better off without me. Oh, I cried and I cried, and I wished I could really get this car off the road and have an accident that would end it all. However, I returned home, and I went up to our bedroom, and I said to God, I can't go on. And I fell into the bed feeling hopeless. Well, Sunday morning came, and Darren and Timothy, they went to church. Now, at this time, we had very dear Christian friends who were a part of our church family. They were praying much for us through it all, and my parents as well. They would often call, they would pray, they would come over and encourage me with scripture. However, I stayed in bed that Sunday morning and all day, and Monday, not able to get out of bed. And then it was early, Tuesday morning. I was lying in bed, and I heard this voice from within say, Carla, everything will be all right. And there was this touch and a presence that came over me like never before. And I realized This was the peace that passes all understanding that Philippians 4:7 says. He touched me. I got up right away, and the burden was lifted, and I played on the piano like a river glorious. It's God's perfect love. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. God gave me just what I needed to go on. Peace, comfort, his presence, and his touch. Now, several months later, again, talking to God, trying to come up with more solutions that I thought would turn her around, this time, I heard God say very emphatically, "When are you going to give her up and let me have her?" Now, I thought I was giving her to God, but I realized soon he was asking for me, hands off, surrender, no more. At this time, it was her senior year in high school, and she was still being disobedient, coming in late, and again lying to us. It devastated us, and she continued to lash out at us as she wanted no part of our lives. She continued to go to church with us, but with a very rebellious heart. One of her good girlfriends suggested that we read the book Tough Love. We did. We were challenged by it and discovered that all we were doing was enabling her behavior and making it too easy for her. She never hit bottom. And when we were going to give her up totally and let God, when were we going to give her up totally and let God deal with her? God was waiting for our response. How much more could we take? She is not willing to change, and our house was in havoc over it. Her life never portrayed a life of fruit bearing, therefore we could not give her any assurance of salvation. Our hearts were like an open wound, bleeding and constantly throbbing. It followed us everywhere. It hurt so bad. One morning, as I was listening to a hymns on our stereo, I thought about the cross and Jesus, and it came to me afresh and anew that no one has ever suffered like Jesus, no one. Jesus went through the horrors of the cross in order to be my Savior, as well as my great high priest who intercedes for me, the only one who can empathize with me. He's been there. He knows the worst suffering, and no one understands like Jesus, no one. And all because Jesus willingly went to Calvary and died on that cross for me. He saved me from sin, death, and hell. And at that moment, I thought to myself, if he never did another thing for me, he's done it all. He did it all at the cross. It is enough. A fresh vision that day of his love overwhelmed me and pressed me forward. Jesus encouraged, comforted, and helped me to go on and even to reach out to others, even with all the heart-throbbing pain. He helped me make pain my friend, and I found the joy of the Lord to be my strength. I must give my daughter over to him and trust him to do what is best with no guarantees or demands. After much thought, prayer, and talking with our pastor, we agreed the best thing to do was completely surrender her to God. Our prayer for Shelby was that she would come to the end of herself quickly and cry out for repentance. Once again, we sat down with her, talked with her about our rules. We warned her that if there was one more incident of lying or breaking of our rules, we would have to ask her to leave our house and find another place to live. We told her we loved her very much, but we can't change her heart, only God. And so he was telling us, hands off. It wasn't long, and again, she was caught lying. This time, we had to pack up the bags and her belongings, and we put them in the garage. We told her to come and get them and reminded her that we were not picking her up out of her messes any longer. We told her we would meet her anytime to talk with her or to have lunch with her. We reminded her how much we did love her. We were not disowning her, but we could not tolerate her persistent sinning. Our hearts were aching continually. We also began hating sin like we had never been before. When you see your daughter smoking outside, lying, and filled with anger, giving herself recklessly to other sin habits, you see her sweetness disappear. You see afresh right before your eyes sin, and that it truly steals, deceives, and kills. The pursuit of holiness, godliness, and surrender began in our daily lives. Looking to Jesus and the cross enabled us to persevere and say many times, "Whatever you want, Lord, whatever you want, this is what we want." We love you and we thank you for your salvation in Jesus Christ and your finished work. And I had peace from God and surrendered her to him again and again. She was his. We had promised to not pick her up or get her out of one more scrape. Hands off. Only God, because he was able to pick her up and turn her around. We knew this might even be her death, and we thought it would be death. She would call us many times in the middle of the night, begging for our assistance and help, but we had to say no. We told God, no. We went and interfered. We reminded her to cry out to God. He was the one who could help her. We would go for weeks not hearing from her and wondering if she was dead. And at one time, she had lost all her ID, literally lost everything. And when the phone would ring in the night hours, we thought, is this the call that says they have found her dead somewhere? It was during this time of her life, I was getting dressed for work one morning, crying, wondering how I was going to get to work when all I could do was cry. Darren came into our bedroom and found me crying, and I said, "Can we pray together? I don't know if I'm going to make it." He said, "Sure." And then we began our prayer times together on a daily basis and sometimes more. We were both hurting so very much, barely making it some days and yet trying to hold up for our family members and live on for them. We knew it wasn't fair to them. God worked in us as we prayed together. Jesus was with us in our praying. His presence was even more evident, and he brought to us more unity, love, and understanding for one another. The strength and courage, even more so, were unbelievable. God poured out grace upon grace for moment by moment and day by day. Approximately 9 months after we agreed to use tough love, we got a call from a prodigal. She's still alive, and she's a miracle. It was March 1st, 1994. God helped her pick herself up and get the help she needed. Within a very short time, God delivered her from drug addictions, and most of all, he gave her the gift of repentance. She called us with Ezekiel 36:26. She said, "Mom, I was reading the Bible, and God has given me a heart of flesh, no longer of stone, and I am his." We were thrilled. God spared her life and gave her everlasting life and a new heart. Our daughter returned home shortly afterwards. We knew repentance had come to her. She once was dead, and now she is alive, physically and spiritually, and it is all glory to God and how he caused us to be dependent on him for every breath and step, surrender our prodigal to him, and keep us focused on his finished work of the cross, of Christ at the cross. Whatever he wanted became our heart's cry. God gave us desperate hearts to pray together, and from that time on to this day, we pray together daily and then some. We face desperation in the strength of Jesus Christ. He never left us nor forsook us. I learned I am always, always desperate for God. I am poor, I'm needy, and suddenlies happen in life. My heart's cry is to keep me close to you, dear Jesus, keep me close. I never want to forget that when no one else was there, he was with me. Jesus was going, was giving us all we needed, especially in the dark hours of the night. We had learned to live on the word of God, and I had memorized Psalms 18, 46, and 91, and in those dark hours, they were my mainstay. God's word is quick access in those dark nights and during the day. He became my refuge, my hiding place. There was a place to hide, where you could be safe and no evil could harm you. It was under his wings. Jesus became more real to me than ever before and loved walking and still love walking and talking with him. I needed him always and still do. And our love for one another and support has deepened as we have heard each other praying from our hearts to our Savior. Communication barriers and accountability all occurs when we pray together. Our goal is to press forward and keep on keeping on, looking to Jesus, the cross, in prayer, in the word, in memorization, in holiness and godliness, and it is a day by day, whatever you want, Lord. Keep me faithful, Lord, to the end. One of my favorite verses is Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us.
Psalms 34:3, O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. In the spring of 1993, God brought us to that place of prayer together. We learned that for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them, Matthew 18:20. There is no greater God ordained together than that of believing spouses praying together. This is a powerful prayer principle that no one ever taught us. Sadly, we find that very few Christian couples actually pray together consistently. God in his mercy brought us to this place, and we have seen the hand of our God move mightily. In 1992, we discovered that our daughter was living two lives. As you might guess, her life of rebellion against her family and God was taking her down a slippery slope of destruction at a breakneck speed. She believed the lies of the enemy. She thought that up was down and down was up. White was black and black was white. Right was wrong and wrong was right. In our desperation to get our daughter back, we tried it all. Rules. Begging and pleading, demands, intervention, Christian counselors. Then, in the world's kind of love, pride really, we tried to keep or get her out of trouble at any cost. But we kept losing her to rebellion. Our home had become one nightmare after another, trying to live a normal life when normal had become to us indescribable anguish, simply trying to hang on by a mere thread. That's when Carla suggested that we begin to pray together. I resisted, really. I could hardly pray alone. But we were desperate and wanted to keep some semblance of family for our son. I think it may have been one of the hardest things I have ever done. And things got worse for our daughter. In June of 1993, she left home, and days or weeks would go by without any contact. She ended up living on the streets in Chicago. That winter, I remember the call in the middle of the night from the Chicago police. Saying we would never see our daughter alive again. Not knowing where our daughter was, trying to have a family Christmas that year was a cruel joke. Our hearts were breaking with unspeakable pain. With pasted on smiles, we somehow made it through. We continued to pray together and our marriage began to heal. We began to feel closeness to each other and to God that we needed so badly. As we continued to pray together, we began to recognize God's leading in our lives. And in all of the turmoil, he said, "When are you going to let go and give her to me?" Our clear instructions were to keep our hands off. God would work, no guarantees other than God would do what would give him the greatest glory. As for our part, we were to pray and trust God. In late February, our Sunday school class held hands in a circle and prayed for deliverance for Shelby. Many, many others were praying also. And 1 week later, March 1st, 1994, God delivered our daughter. from her life of death and destruction. She began to see clearly again. God restored our relationship and brought her to himself. She is now married and has three precious children. Praise the Lord. We had no idea that God would use this miracle to encourage and challenge others to believe him for miracles in their lives. Please listen to me, dear hearts. Our God hears and answers prayer. Our God is a miracle-working God. Praise his name. We have no greater privilege, no greater responsibility, no greater power than prayer. God promises to work his sovereign will through the prayers of his children and even grant us greater blessings, bringing us closer to him through the means of prayer. James is right in saying that we have not because we ask not. And oh, how much more we need God to bless us with a greater dependence in him through prayer. God calls us to his table saying, I have all of this and you live in such scarcity. Come boldly and ask. We know we can have this confidence because of Jesus. Mark 9:29 says, Jesus is speaking, says, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Jesus is our example in this. He prayed and fasted. And oh, by the way, Jesus is not only our example. Well, please listen. He purchased the privilege for us to be able to pray. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples failed in praying and thus fled Jesus. But praise Jesus that he kept praying and through prayer was strengthened to endure the cross. And now, because of Jesus' death on the cross, we have the privileged access straight to the throne room of God. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. What a privilege. What a privilege we have. Our most basic necessity is our relationship with God through the word and prayer. Without the desperate dependence on God through prayer, we will be hardened to our need and even miss more from the word. So let's heed Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne room of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, please note, this does admonish us to be prayed up for when the time of need arises. But for the grace of God, it is too late if we didn't start praying until the time of need. The disciples slept in the garden while Jesus prayed, and they failed as they fled. Jesus was prayed up. Are we? We learned that the suddenlies come. That through prayer, we need to maintain that desperate dependence upon our God. And oh, here is a lesson we learned after the fact. Fasting. Don't neglect this powerful prayer principle. Jesus, our example, was prayed up and fasted up. Fasting needs to serve as an integral part of your prayer life. Carl and I can testify, as a married couple, the greatest blessing in our life is daily praying together. I would challenge all couples to pray daily together. Believe God for what he can do in your marriage and family. Now, as we give you just a few answers to prayer, please know this. We have discovered our joy doesn't spring from Jesus giving us what we want, but Jesus being what we want. God delights in answering prayers to show us who he is and how we ought to depend on him in everything. Again, these are in no particular order, but here are a few personal answers to prayer for protection and provision.
We prayed as a family that our oldest daughter could go to a Christian school when we had no extra funds for her to be able to go. A week before school was to start, we received a check from the IRS. A mistake had been made several years prior, and we got a refund check. And the amount of money covered the expense of the school. Praise God.
We prayed for a job when there were not many jobs to be had, and God gave me just the right job.
We prayed for a Christian boss when the company was sold, and God wonderfully answered.
We prayed that when our son graduated from college as a youth pastor, that God would open a church up for him quickly. And within 2 months after his graduation, God wonderfully answered. God gave him a job.
We prayed about a lady who had lung cancer and was not a Christian, that God would save her. The doctors only gave her a few months to live, and within that time, she accepted the Lord Jesus. And I was able to do a Bible study with her for about 8 weeks.
We have had many financial setbacks, but through prayer, God heard and answered and provided for each one of our needs.
Lord, how do I pray about this? Several years ago, our oldest daughter called and asked for prayer for a mother and a father who had adopted a baby boy. They had had him in their home for just a short time when the biological mother decided she wanted him back. What a heartbreak as they took him back to her. However, the church and many others began praying for this couple and baby boy. And within a matter of 4 days, the baby was brought back to the adoptive parents.
God placed a burden on our hearts for the city of Hebron in Israel in 1995. We prayed for and searched for a missionary in that city until God introduced us to a missionary from Bethlehem in 1998. He subsequently introduced us to the only Christian witness in the city of Hebron, Holy Land Ministries Evangelical Home and School. We asked the Lord to bring in the funds for us to be able to go see the school, and within a few weeks, the money came to us in a very unexpected way.
Praying for salvation of our grandchildren, 9 so far, we praise God, have been saved.
1 year I was given the goal of adding $1 million to my annual sales. We prayed much and God answered.
At the age of 7, our granddaughter, Cassie, called us to tell us that she had accepted Jesus into her heart. We had been praying for her for over 7 years, and those first few months, we didn't know she was Cassie. We began to see the change in her life.
Our third grandchild, Hunter, was stillborn. In that heartbreak, we learned a blessing is anything that brings you closer to God.
The miracle of our oldest daughter's marriage. All the experts said someone that marries so young will never make it. They have been now married 26 years, and she is soon to become a grandmother.
I developed super tachycardia. That's a racing heart. But the heart surgery was successful, and God protected me in it all.
Many times, protection for Darren in several car accidents.
Want to go for a ride? God healed me of Crohn's disease.
Again, Darren, the healing of 2 near-fatal bleeding ulcers. And again, God's protection.
And for Carla's successful thyroid surgery, where yet today she requires no thyroid medicine, though she only has 1/2 of her thyroid. God is so good. Psalms 78, 4 through 7. I'll say it again. Psalms 78, 4 through 7. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He commanded our forefathers to teach their children, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. As families, and as the family of God, let's make this a priority, to teach the next generations the praiseworthy deeds of our Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. Praise his name.
So the point is not so much about those specific instances as much as it is about how God reveals who he is in the midst of those things. And he wants us to grow in relationship with him all the more and calls us to pray and to seek his face. And he purchased our ability to pray. at the cross to have access with God. And then when we fumble and over our words, Jesus is interceding on our behalf. The Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf with groanings too deep for words. And so I hope that that's a challenge and an encouragement to you and for us all to be praying. And for couples, married couples, to be praying together as well and to make that a priority, to be seeking the Lord's face, to strengthen your relationship and your family through it too. So let me actually close our time in prayer tonight, and then I invite everyone here to make their way back to the fellowship hall too for some food and some fellowship and some enjoyment there. So let me pray. Father, we thank you for your kindness. Lord, we pray that you would cause our hearts to love you all the more. The psalmist says, "Unite my heart to fear your name." Our hearts are so often divided, Lord, but it's through all various types of circumstances, through the difficulties and through the joys, that you lead our hearts to repentance. And we are confident, Lord, that you who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us as your children to take you and your call and your gift seriously. To be filled with greater desires to glorify you and enjoy you forever. Oh Lord, help us. And cause our hearts to be amazed by the fact that our transcendent God is by our side through the power of the Spirit, never leaving us, never forsaking us. And you are the God who answers prayer. Oh Lord, help us. These things are too wonderful for us. They're too high. We cannot attain them. But Lord, you've granted us these gifts. And we pray that you would be loved and adored all the more in our hearts individually, for those who are married in the marriages, in the families. And Father, in our church family, may we be a people of prayer and dependence, desperate dependence on you, because you have given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness in Christ. And it's all because of him we pray. Amen.